It is much better that I be faithful to you today and alert you and warn you that God is serious when he warns you to avoid the sins of the flesh, because they're so destructive. Down in verse 20 to 22, you'll see that she is the guilty woman. And it speaks here, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher. Today in the program we have a hymn, Near to the Heart of Jesus. But the main message is on the strange woman and the need for faithfulness in marriage. And I want to read to you from the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, and this series of issues with the strange woman. My son, attend to my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honour unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labours be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. These are the words of Solomon advising his son to beware of the ways of the strange woman. And that's our message today, faithfulness in marriage, a warning regarding the strange woman. Stay tuned as we move to our pulpit ministry today.
In real terms, she's the loose woman, the prostitute, the harlot. And yes, in our cities today, we have such women, whether it's in Vancouver, Surrey, Abbotsford, wherever you might live or go. These are issues of our day. And this is the woman that pulls down rather than builds up. She is a marriage wrecker, a home wrecker, and is out to destroy just for her own temporary gain. Now, how would I dare to come up with this? But if you look at verse 3 right down to verse 10, you have a very vivid picture of the ways of this strange, loose, harlot type. It says in verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Oh, the temptation. Oh, the appeal, the attraction, the drawing influence of this woman. But her end is bitter. And so the beginning. And I was just reading a devotional this week where Jesus turned water into wine. When the Lord commands us to live aright, the end is always better than the beginning. The wine comes later after the water. But sin is the opposite. It starts sweet and ends up bitter. And all the man that gets lured into the ways of this strange woman who is drawn in by the attraction of the smoothness of things, the end is so bitter, so disappointing, so ruinous. And as you go down this chapter, and I think we should take a moment just to read this. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. And you'll notice there in the margin, that means unstable. That thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. There's ruin, 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 marked all over the language of that passage. You'll notice also she's not only a strange and a destructive woman, but in verse 11, she is unhealthy. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. We have young people here today, and the last thing that I want as a pastor is one day sitting opposite to you to help you overcome the ruin of these sins. That's the last position I want to be in. What we have here is preventative medicine. These are realities that are shocking. They are devastating. But in that moment of being attracted to the wrong person, they are hidden from many young people's minds. What you should do, and maybe do this with a parent, Google sexual diseases, sexually transmitted diseases. Just do that with a parent. Discover what God has ordained as preventative to warn men and women against loose living and disobedience to his law. You go into, I think St. Paul's Hospital now specializes in many of these things. You go into the wards of the hospital. You will see on beds skeleton-like figures who are plagued with the consequences of choosing a lifestyle of immorality. They are, what does it say here in this verse 11? And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Oh, the misery and the death that such lifestyle brings. Again, I say I don't want to ever have to visit you and talk through these things when you're the victim. It is much better that I be faithful to you today and alert you and warn you that God is serious when he warns you to avoid the sins of the flesh, because they're so destructive. Down in verse 20 to 22, you'll see that she is the guilty woman. And it speaks here, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. God sees, God knows, nothing is hidden. And you'll notice how these things are so destructive. Verse 22, His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. This is long-term stuff. An 80-year-old man could look back over the sins of his life and learn that these are long cords that are, humanly speaking, impossible to break. The shame of them, the hurt of them, they last for life. That's what Solomon's talking about here. The memory of his wicked ways can flash into his heart with daggers of guilt. That's deep-seated, long-term stuff. And so this alternative is unthinkable. And that's why God says, rejoice in the wife of thy youth. God has given the provision. God has given you a wife. Rejoice in the wife of thy youth. The alternative is unthinkable. And young people, pray for a wife. Pray that you will have a healthy, a sacred marriage that will be blessed of God. Seek for that with all your heart. Now, thirdly, those that succumb to unfaithfulness face death and eternal sorrow. Enough of that. Enough of that. What I want to do is to give you three examples in the Bible of people who fell into sexual sins. And the Lord dealt in great mercy. The first one is in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we have the account of this woman anointing Jesus with the ointment, washing his feet with her hair, and delighting in her Savior. Now, we're not exactly told her lifestyle, but we are told that she was a sinful woman. We are told that she was a sinner, and Jesus knew it. The Pharisee in whose home Jesus was dining, Simon's home, he knew it. And he said, Lord, do you not know this woman? And here she is, she's weeping over you, she's washing your feet with her tears and her hair, she's anointing you with this ointment. Do you not know who she is? And then the Lord had a great gospel lesson for him. And he said, imagine someone who owed a debtor 500 pence and another 50. And they were both forgiven. Who would be most thankful and appreciative? And of course, Simon, there's only one answer to that one. The one who was forgiven most. And the Lord said, likewise. And this woman who washed the Savior's feet, Jesus said to her, thy sins are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? There is forgiveness. And I want to use this example, and though two other today, because guilt is a horrible thing to live with. And forgiveness is so wonderful. To hear those words from the lips of the Savior, thy sins are forgiven. Now, is this a unique case? How did she get that forgiveness? Well, at the end of chapter 7, the very end, verse 50, he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. What a wonderful remedy to a guilty woman. What a great Savior that he has the authority and the power to forgive one like this. And she was told to go in peace. Peace. And if you're troubled by sin and shame, by defeat in your own life, praise God, there's a Savior who cleanses, and pronounces you pardoned, forgiven, and it is through faith. So go in peace. And I knew that preaching Proverbs 5 would be a troublesome sermon. And I wanted to bring you to these examples. We live in a rotten world, a vile, sinful, sin-sodden society. And we're plagued by the temptations of sin. And we need a mighty Savior. And praise God, his name is Jesus, who can say to a woman like this, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." The other example is John's Gospel, chapter 8. It's the woman who was taken by the Jews in adultery in the very act. Now, this is a very pathetic case. There's no way of worming out of this one. Although the strange thing is that the man who was party to this doesn't even seem to appear. The woman is the one that gets it all laid on her. Nevertheless, she is guilty. And of course, the Lord Jesus wrote something on the ground and then said, "Which of you is without sin? Let him cast the first stone." We had a preacher here once from the Trinitarian Bible Society, the Reverend Allen. He was ministering there, and he preached on this account. And it was a powerful sermon. And he stated that somewhere from the Psalms, the Lord Jesus wrote on the ground. And that word convicted everyone. And they just walked away and left this woman lying at the feet of Jesus. What did Jesus say to her? "No man condemns thee, neither do I. Go and sin no more." You see, the gospel not only pronounces us pardoned, but it gives us power to overcome the guilt, the plague of inward sin. And that's the Savior that we need. That's the gospel that truly changes lives. And if perchance there is someone here today and you feel the shame and you feel the guilt and you feel the oppression of defeat in these areas of your life and you wonder, is there any hope? Is there any deliverance for me? The only message that we have, and it's not psychology and it's not habits and it's not change this or that, it is you need Christ in your heart. You need the Savior as the Lord of your life to empower you to go and sin no more. In other words, to clean up your life and to change your very ways. He can do it, but you can't do it alone. You need Christ in your heart. The third example that we want to share today is now a man. King David. And if you turn with me to the Psalm 51, you find here how King David found the mercy, the cleansing, and peace that he craved for as he lived with the awful agony and the shame of his own adultery. Here is one who did not drink out of his own well. Here is one who is guilty of testing the forbidden fruit of another man's wife. And all the guilt of it when Nathan stood before him and said, "Thou art the man." Found out guilty of horrible sin. What is the answer for David? Well, here in Psalm 51, you have his prayer, his confession, and he pleads the power of Jesus' blood. You'll see in verse 2, "Wash me." Well, let's read verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. He couldn't run from it. He couldn't hide from it. It was plaguing him night and day. And then he confessed that against God, against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And then, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And if your heart is blackened and guilty by sin today, if you are filled with the shame of the lusts of the flesh and the ungodly sights that you have taken in, there is cleansing. There is washing. And oh, how thorough it is, makes you whiter than snow. It's a reset. It gives you innocency and justification, just as if you'd never sinned. And you'll see the result of it in the next verse. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. All the misery that guilt brings, all the difficulty of carrying the burden, and all the wonderful relief that you find when you go to the fountain filled with blood and are washed in the precious, precious blood of Jesus. How can this be? Because in the atoning work of Christ, he was God and man. I've been talking about the sermons of T.T. Shields, and I read this. Could you imagine 1,000 men who were condemned to a punishment of 39 lashes? And one man who's innocent steps in and says, I will take the lashes, the punishment for all. Couldn't do it. The human frame could not bear 39,000 lashes. He would weaken and die under the weight of it. And so, to atone for the sins of all the redeemed of God and all the elect of God, God sent his own Son, who is God. He gave him a body that he would also become man. And is the God-man, he died bearing the weight, the punishment of all his people. And all the wrath of God fell on him. A mere man could not have borne it all, but Jesus did. And that's the power of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that today? Is that your hope, your strength, your victory in life? What a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. Come back tonight and let me preach a little more about this Savior. Thank you for listening. Hasn't been an easy subject. Cuts very close to the heart. But just maybe, it's the Lord's word to bring you out of a state of darkness, of misery and shame, guilt and condemnation, to victory. Victory through the death, the blood, the justifying work of Jesus. I pray so. And may you live in the joy and the blessedness, that you may have joy and gladness and rejoice in your Savior.
Quiet rest into the heart of God.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on the station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.